Don't take it so seriously. Lighten up. Trust the mystery. Lighten up. It doesn't matter anyway. Just enjoy your life. Get out of your way. Lighten up.
Welcome to Lighten Up with Bonnie Wirth on Empower Radio, an inspirational hour of conversation and interviews to help you shift perspective and create balance between being spiritual and human. Now here's your host, Bonnie Wirth, on Empower Radio.
Hello and happy day, sweet friends. It feels like forever since I've actually been here on the air with you and interacting and sharing in conversation. Of course, life happens sometimes, and so it did put me on pause and redirected a few things in my life the last couple of weeks. And I think that, you know, that really is what's playing out on a larger scheme for all of us. And I want to just kind of talk a little bit about what's been going on in my world, but really how it fits into today's show, because today's show is all about, you know, is about how do we find faith in sometimes the most difficult challenges in our life, how it is that we're able to continue to move through or find even a glimmer of hope sometimes when things are changing unexpectedly around us. Now, the last couple of weeks, as I said, I've taken a little bit of a hiatus from my life, and I don't even know how else to explain it. We had a death in the family, which is what, you know, happens. Of course, we were, for all of us, I mean, life and death is a part of the whole equation. So for me, it did take me on a sidestep in a whole different direction, and everything that I had planned, everything that I had on the table to take care of, what I call my to-do list, was, you know, just had to sit and wait. And there were a lot of expectations that I had placed upon myself. I have a lot of deadlines, some professional deadlines, as well as, you know, deadlines that are self-imposed, because I'm just that kind of person. That's the only way that I can sometimes function and get by, is if I know that I've got to get something done. So there was a lot of things, a lot of expectations I thought about where I was going to be, what I was going to be doing, that got significantly interrupted with the death of my loved one. So this happens to us. It doesn't have to take a death in order for change to happen. You know, it really doesn't. Sometimes it's the shortest split second in time that can change the direction in our lives. And this, you know, it's almost like you never know when something is going to happen. You never know when a change is going to come forward and interrupt life as you know it. Because what we have today may not be what we have tomorrow. It can be that quick. You never know. Things change. And often that change can happen spontaneously. It can happen unexpected. You know, people and circumstances come and go all the time. Life doesn't stop for anybody. And I mean, really, you know, that's why I felt like life had stopped for me a couple of weeks ago, but it really didn't, because through all of that, there was still change happening. It was moving rapidly. There were rushes from calm to chaos in the matter of those seconds. And it happens to all of us each and every day. So just because, you know, stuff was going down in my world, it didn't mean that the world stopped. Sometimes, as I said, it's that shortest split second. We can sometimes have a decision that we need to make, and it might rattle our whole world. You know, it can, our entire lives can be flipped upside down for better, or what can feel like for worse. And this is where we really, you know, look to strength, look to faith, or find that hope, even in the most of unpredictable of events. And all of these events are happening all the time. They're happening for me. They're happening for you. We see it happening on a global scale. Change is taking place everywhere. There is a cycle that goes from inception to completion. And then through change, it is through inception again. It's like we're constantly evolving. We're constantly growing. And everything is changing, no matter how much we don't like it. And however good or bad a situation, it will change. Nothing is stagnant in this universe. Everything is always moving. It is energy. We are energy, and it is in constant flow, constant movement. And so change is inevitable, really, it's, I think it's the one thing we have to get used to, is, and to accept, is the fact that all things change, even when, as I said, we resist it, we dig our heels in. I know I certainly do. But it is through that resisting of change that we create our own suffering. And so I know for myself, I've kind of learned to adapt a little bit more. I'm learning. I haven't mastered it yet, but I'm learning how to be flexible. I'm learning how to look at life's changes in a place of being more, you know, faith-filled in the fact that all things are happening for my highest and greatest good. Although when you look around in the world, I mean, it can feel like, you know, when you see disaster and chaos and everything playing out, it has you really questioning kind of the larger scale of things. And how is this good for us? What is playing out? And how can we be flexible during times like this? How do we adapt to this? How do we find some peace and acceptance, especially when the things that are changing around us are out of our control? So whatever is causing our suffering really is about where we are creating resistance around. I want to kind of give you some stories here. I hope I don't bore you with my stories today. But, you know, what are some of the things that, you know, common things that can happen in life that we tend to create resistance? Well, change is rooted in the fact that we expect certain people to behave a certain way. And so that can happen where change in relationships take place. Our expectations of each other, of how we should be, how we should interact. You feel the shoulds. Oh my gosh, I feel like the whole world shoulds on us all the time. I should on myself too. But it really becomes, you know, where we get into relationships where perhaps someone that we really respect maybe snaps at us or yells at us. We expect them to always treat us kindly. And so we're used to them being fair. We're used to them being respectful. But suddenly they aren't. I think, you know, here again, it's about not putting people too high on pedestals, recognizing that we are all human. We all do have emotions that play up, and that our expectations of each other, you know, are really unfair. I think of the relationship with my husband, and you know what? We lose our temper sometimes. Yeah, we do. Even me. Can you imagine? I'm not all roses and giggles all the time. But you know, when that happens, that is an indication when we lose our temper, when something isn't going our way or doesn't feel right to us, or we're frustrated or we get angry. What that is we are in resistance to our reality. We are in complete resistance to whatever change that the universe is trying to play out for our highest and greatest good. And so we can get confused, we can get agitated, we get offended by each other's, and it force what happens at these times, it's almost like the universe is forcing us to change our perceptions as well as our expectations of other people. So I want to invite you, instead of getting angry, and I'm speaking to myself too, because this is what, you know, in the losing of our tempers, and we have to kind of take pause a little bit. We have to try to look at how is it that we can, instead of being in that reactive state in life, how is it that we can better respond to even changes taking place within some of our closest relationships? You know, we also have, you know, for the parents in the world, you know, what else changes is our kids grow up. I've been dealing with that this last little while. I mean, if you've been tuning into my show, of course, you know that my son got married back in May. I used to be a mom of three kids, and I'm still the mom, but now we have five kids instead of three. And so even just having them grow and them change, you know, when I think about when they're little, you know, they refuse to listen, and they wanted to have life. They wanted things their certain way. And of course, I saw things differently. And so that brought up challenges as they were growing and they were maturing. And then, you know, that presently, I mean, when their behaviors don't conform to our expectations, even as children, we get worried and stressed out about it as parents, right? again, we're in complete resistance of allowing them to grow and evolve and to become who they are. And I know my kids have been my greatest teacher. They have challenged me to be a better person. And when I say challenge me to be a better person, it is because of that. It is because they didn't always conform to what I expected of them. They didn't always do what I wanted them to do. Imagine that. Hey, I wonder whose kids actually do that. I know I certainly didn't behave the way my parents wanted me to. Anyway, so I look at my kids and how much they have grown and how much change has taken place even in my immediate family. As I said, three kids. We have five now as their partners are coming in, you know, into the family. And change took place here again today for me. Am I liking it? No. My youngest son was home for a while. He had been away at work and he has been home. And you know what? Things changed. He went back to work. Mom had a little meltdown. I mean, I'm in complete resistance of it. I don't want to accept that reality. And that's what happens with change, is we go immediately into pushing against what is happening. So let's see, what else has been playing out in my world? Well, I'll tell you what, another place I've created resistance, as I said, my life has kind of been on a little bit of a hiatus where was redirected because of the death in the family. And I've come to the awareness this week that I've got way too much on my plate. I have, once again, overcommitted myself with too many obligations. I want to say a lot of this is self-imposed. Some of them are professional, some of them are personal, but there is this point. It's almost like this overwhelm. I'm almost overwhelmed by the fact that I have so many things going on. Part of me was angry at the universe, because I do that, getting angry at the universe for the change and the fact that we had the death in the family. The timing of this death, you see, did not fit really good in my life, because really, is it not all about me? But honestly, you know what, we all go through that. We can all take a look at how life gets interrupted with the death of a loved one based on what we have going on. But I have now, since coming back and getting back into flow in my life, you know, I've had to take a look at those things that I'm supposed to do, and to realize that sometimes there's not enough time to do them. And that's been really hard. And I'm recognizing that not only something has changed while I was away, but that something actually needs to be changed again. Because it's not possible for me to do everything, which blows my mind. I'm sure it's blowing your mind right now listening to me admit it on the air. It's not possible for me to do everything. And again, it comes down to those obligations, those expectations that I had of myself, professional, personal, whatever it is. And so I've really come to the conclusion that I don't have it all together. And that's been hard for me to swallow. That, you know, I look around at the disarray in my home because I've been on the road, and, you know, suitcases and clothes, and the house needs a little TLC, and my desk, you know, because I've been in massive creative mode, has piles of papers everywhere, and I'm getting ready to teach a workshop this weekend. So I have all of my bins, you know, of stuff all around me. And so there's this whole overwhelming sense of way too many, you know, pots in the fire. So it really was upsetting me. And it was upsetting me. I was talking to my daughter last night, and she was saying, well, so mom, so tell me, like, how are you doing? And I started to cry. And I said, you know what? I don't even know. All I know is I'm overwhelmed and something needs to change. You see, because sometimes our circumstances, that moment we get overwhelmed by something, is an indication from the universe that something needs to shift. That, again, here I am in the world of trying to put as much on my plate and get as much done. And I mean, I love helping people. So the more that I can help people, the more fulfilled I feel. And that sometimes I can help them more than what I'm helping myself. And so it's just another sign for me in the midst of all of the little chaos going on around me that there's some changes that need to take place for me. So I do want to go back to the death, because I know that, I mean, I'm a medium, death surrounds me. That's what it does. I always say my job is death. You know, I'm not only helping people to connect with loved ones on the other side, but of course teaching and helping other mediums in the world to really be who they are. So death is probably the ultimate of all changes in life. Truly it is. And especially there, you know, that person would have given a lot of meaning to our life. And now suddenly they're no longer with us, you know, at least not in flesh, right? But there is a change that takes place. And do we like it? Absolutely not. Because what happens, you know, death affects everyone. And it was funny because during the funeral and through the celebration of life that we had for our loved one, people, there were conversations that were playing out that, you know, where they felt so sorry for him because he had gone. And I actually said, you know what, death actually has nothing to do with the person who died. Death has everything to do with the people who are being left behind, because that person gave meaning to our life. And now that they're no longer here, it's almost like we have to change who we are. You know, the best friend now sits alone because suddenly he doesn't have his best friend there beside him. You know, the mother no longer has the son. You know, suddenly what we want in life and the way we expected our life to be isn't anymore. And so it was one way before death, and after death, it's completely different. And as I said, it's the ultimate of change in our life. So obviously some of the stuff that I've talked about is kind of just the tip of the iceberg, because change, as I said, is the only thing that is constant in our life. I mean, every fraction of every second can be different. And especially, I mean, we resist it. We do not like change. I always think of the movie Shrek, the classic line for me in that movie. It's a Disney cartoon if you've never seen it. But in the movie, Shrek says to his little travel buddy, he says, "Change is good, donkey." And so I have to always remind myself that in the midst of everything that's going on, as every day gradually passes and our relationships shift, and when people no longer act the way that they used to do in our lives, or they are moving on, you know, with life of their own, as, you know, our children growing up and moving out, that even though in the midst that it's tough to deal with, that there is pain in all of those life changes, and change is good, whether we can understand it during the time or not. It is the reality that is evolving. And the greatest part, I would say, is it the greatest part? I would say the most difficult part, I guess I should say, is that realizing at the end of the day, we are not in control. And so how many of you out there love to be in control? I know I like to kind of control things a little bit. I like to kind of know, you know, where my eggs go on the shelf in the fridge, and, you know, the cupboard where, you know, all the spices and everything goes, and there's specific places. It's like, I like to be able to control my environment. I like to be able to control, you know, how things play out in my business, you know, and when suddenly it doesn't happen, it's like this whole realization that ultimately none of us are in control. So, you know, the key to cope with all of change is about now finding healthy ways to do this rather than to fall into the hopeless part of things. So we can cope with change hopelessly. and quite sadly, most of us usually do. So, you know, how are we coping with change? Well, let's take a look at the relationships, you know, screaming at other people, screaming at ourselves, you know, getting mad in traffic at other people. I mean, that's not a real hopeful place to be through the midst of change. Sometimes it goes in deeper for people where they begin drinking lots of alcohol or perhaps using drugs because they, in order to numb things out, in order to calm it down, or so that they can find some sense of relief from the change that is taking place. Sometimes, you know, it gets into watching mindless television shows, you know, one after the other, right? That ultimate state of just being of boredom, of sitting around every single day and feeling sorry for ourselves. And so that really creates the spiral. We fall into this place of absolute hopelessness. And from here, we can spiral and we can get into the depths of some really sad and very dark times. Now, there are some healthy ways of coping as well. I mean, there are, and this all becomes the ability to be able to make some conscious choices for ourselves, because we all know that healthy ways are the one thing that we resist too. Do you not do that? Do you? And I'm saying that you do. I know you do, because I know I do. And if you're listening to my show, we're having the same conversation here. So I know that what'll happen is that I get into complete resistance of things, of change. I resist what's playing out. I don't like how reality is showing up. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I feel I'm falling into this pit of hopelessness. And the one thing that I know that is going to help me get out of it is the one thing I resist as well. How many of you do that? I bet you do, because I know I certainly do. So it's like we know that the healthy choices we can make, those conscious healthy choices to help us to feel better, to help to move through some of the challenges and changes, really come down to, you know, what I want to say, kind of like what would be the basics. I mean, exercising, right? Moving our body, allowing, you know, I think back to the last couple of weeks. And at one point, my husband said to me, let's go for a walk. He says, you'll feel better after a walk. And I was like, nah, I don't want to go. Right? And yet there's a part of me that knew that that is what was going to really help me to feel better. He was completely right. But I resisted it. I was too caught up in my misery. Looking, you know, into something like meditation, of course, into mindfulness practices. We all know the benefits of what meditation can do for us. Do you think that I've meditated very much in the last couple of weeks? Nuh-uh. I didn't feel like it. I was caught up more in the hopelessness and the misery. But what really begins to, you know, I mean, and we do, we begin to shift and change and start making those conscious choices. I mean, obviously now, yes, I'm going for my walks, I'm exercising, I'm back into my yoga routines, I'm meditating on a daily basis again. I mean, I'm doing the things that will fill me up. That's a conscious choice. And one of the things that happens, of course, is to be able to help with that as well, is to be able to discuss our problems with other people. You know, having that friend, that confidant, to be able to just to share with. You know, not in terms of the misery, but to just have somebody to hold to hold our heart and allow us to really get real with how we're feeling. And we need to get real with how we're feeling. I mean, we can't move through anything. We can't move through any change whatsoever if we don't get real about how we're feeling. When we get real with how we're feeling, we take ourselves out of resistance and change can happen a little bit easier. And I think, you know, finally, focusing on the next step forward, you know, what is the next step? Because controlling, trying to control what cannot be controlled is like being a little hamster in a wheel and not getting anywhere. You're just spinning and spinning and spinning, but you're not making any progress in life. So it really is about, so rather than craving control, it really is about to just allow it to be uncontrolled, because we can't control everything. We can't. Like I said, we can control where we put the eggs in the fridge, but we can't control where how the bigger aspects of life play out for us. Change happens whether we are in it. When we're in it, it's happening. When we don't think we're in it, it's still happening. And then we get through it. And I'll tell you what. 9 times out of 10, and I say 9 times out of 10 because, you know, death has that, there has a whole different set of issues, but 9 times out of 10, when we find our way through change, we realize that there have been some miracles that were played out. I mean, there's miracles even around the death situation. There's miracles everywhere. But we realize that there's actually a lot of good that comes through change. But look at us little humans digging in our heels, resisting, creating chaos, saying no to what we truly require to thrive in our life. The most important thing to understand, I think, is that it's all about finding those healthy coping strategies that require us to embrace the changes of life, first and foremost. I think that's the most important. I think about it. If changes are a basic fact of life, why do we resist it? Why are we not embracing it, letting go and trying to live fully? I think that's ultimately, you know, it's about looking to try to find the beauty in the life changes, the miracles that are taking place. And I know it's hard. Oh my gosh, I know it's hard. But only because we're so used to being in resistance. So after the commercial break, we're going to put all of that aside, all that habitual of resistance and judgment and all that it is, and I'm going to help you take a look at what it is that you might be resisting and how you can flip your pancake to change and come out shining. I'll be back with you after the commercial break.
Have the craziest ideas about food. Where do they get this stuff? Like eating Brussels sprouts helps you hit home runs. And eating carrots gives you x-ray vision. It's nuts. And I honestly have no idea where my daughter got this notion that broccoli is the official food of professional ballerinas. Kids, the only reason my 4-year-old loves cantaloupe is because he's convinced it comes from the moon.
One small step for man, lots of potassium for mankind.
And the other day when my oldest came up to me and said, Mom, will eating peas and carrots really help me pull off a fakie frontside ollie with a twist? I look him in the eye and say, it can't hurt, honey. It can't hurt.
Moms everywhere are finding creative ways to help their kids eat 5 servings of fruit and vegetables a day. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while 1 in 5 children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat?
Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People are always looking to invest in a good opportunity. So what if you could invest in the future of kids, like a stock? Not the kind of stock that's about making money, but a stock for social change called Better Futures. With your investment, it helps students like me go to college. My name is Charles, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Don't take it so seriously. Lighten up. Trust the mystery. Lighten up. It doesn't matter anyway. Just enjoy your life. Get out of your way. Lighten up.
Now back to Lighten Up with Bonnie Wirth on Empower Radio.
So we're talking about change and really about having faith through change, being able to find the strength to move through some of life's greatest challenges. And I think, you know, when we look at some rough times, we look at changes that can happen unexpectedly for ourselves, whether on a personal level or on a professional level, whatever that's going to look, whatever that looks like in your life. I think it happens in every area of life. So we all just kind of go through change in different places and at different times, but we're all going through this. I think one of the greatest gifts about change is the fact that it is difficult. And I know that you're probably going, what? But it is. The greatest gift is the fact that change is difficult, because in dealing with the difficulties in life, we actually build invaluable strength. And this strength enables us to successfully fulfill our deepest and most meaningful purposes. And that's precisely why life is difficult, because it's like the universe is asking us to learn how to make it great. It is because life is difficult that we're able to rise above the difficulties. And because of that, we can make a difference, and we're able to make not only our own life, well, I guess our own life matter, and we help to inspire others to make their life matter too. So again, when times are tough, you know, you've heard it, when the tough get going, right? That's truly what it is. And I think, you know, very often we pray for it to be easy. We pray for the ease in life. We pray for an easy life. But I'm going to encourage you to pray for strength to endure the tough times, because those tough times are what lead us to greatness. Okay, those tough times. So, you know, we pray, you know, please God, whatever it is we're petitioning for, petitioning in our prayers, or we're doing the affirmative action, that which is the better of the two. But just take a look at, you know, what it is you're praying for. Are you praying for the fact that this to be done and over, or are you praying for strength? Are you praying for conviction? Are you praying for the ability to endure, to understand? Really have to take a look at kind of what's playing out. So I want to tell you, first and foremost, I've got a list of all kinds of aha moments to be able to share with you on the show today. But of course, I probably won't have enough time, because that's usually just how it goes. So I'm just going to keep babbling and take you through some pretty important points here. You know, first off, you know, when change happens, the one thing that we do is we begin to doubt ourselves. We, especially if there is a decision, a tough decision that we've had to make, and it didn't quite go the way we expected, we immediately go into a self-loathing because we didn't make the better choice. But I want to reassure you that this isn't about making the wrong choice. As I said, it is the difficulties that are helping us to learn our own strength. And so even at those times that we perceive that we've chosen wrong, it's not possible for us to choose wrong, because our soul is always guiding, and our soul, you know, takes us on a journey that brings up these challenges. Why? So that we can successfully fulfill our deepest and most meaningful purpose. So please, you know, learn to not be so hard on yourself about some of the decisions you've made, the choices that you've always made the best choice that you possibly could know how in the moment. And this isn't about beating yourself up or condemning yourself for your mistakes. This is about acknowledging the fact that at a much deeper level, that this choice was made for the sole purpose, right? For that deepest, you know, for you to be able to successfully fulfill something at a much deeper level inside of you. So when we create resistance to what is happening in our reality, that's actually what causes our suffering. Happiness is allowing ourselves to learn to be okay with what is. One of my favorite statements ever is to say, it is what it is. It is what it is not. It just is. Let me explain that to you. It is what it is, which means I'm acknowledging everything in how it exists within reality. It is what it is not, is everything I wish it could be different about it. Everything that I would have preferred it to be. So it is what it is. Everything reality shows. It is what it is not, is the list of things I wish it could be instead. And I find acceptance by saying it just is. It just is. It's giving up. Not giving up in a place of, you know, throwing in the towel and saying, forget it, I'm done, I'm out of here. but lifting it up, giving it up to the universe, giving it up to the angels, giving it up to the powers that be to carry it. It just is. And it literally creates a feeling of that ease, of that, you know, we want life, that ease we were praying for. That's what does by our ability to be able to find some peace and acceptance with what is playing out. So really, when we say it's supposed to be this way or that way, we're really just arguing with ourselves. And so that's, you know, so let's just give it up. Let's just give it up and be okay with what is. It is what it is, and it is what it is not. So the other part is to recognize that sometimes, no matter what plays out, and even though we don't like what's happening in our life, maybe we've been praying for something, or we've been working in manifestation and to manifest something, you know, spectacular in our life, and we got the complete opposite, and we think we went completely and totally wrong somewhere. I want to just remind you that not getting what we want in life can actually be the blessing. Not getting what we want sometimes can almost be like a wonderful stroke of good luck, because it really does help us to reevaluate things. And when we can take time to reevaluate what it is what we truly want in our lives, that's where we open up to new doors or to opportunities, to new information that perhaps we otherwise would have overlooked. Okay. So not getting what we want can be the greatest of blessings. One that I always think of too, and I go back, you know, just a couple of years ago when I was really young, when I go back and I think about who I thought I was going to marry, you know, there's that Garth Brooks song, right? About thank God for unanswered prayers. I mean, when I think about the idea that I had in terms of a relationship and what that would, I mean, it was a wonderful stroke of luck. It truly was. Okay. Moving forward here. You know, we can't change situations until we take responsibility. Now that's a really big one for people. They don't appreciate me saying that. And I know I do. And I say it anyway, because I've had to learn to take responsibility for my life. Not responsibility for what happened to me, but responsibility for how I responded or reacted to it. Responsibility for making healthier and better choices. And that really is, you know, we can't change any situation until we're prepared to take some responsibility. Sigmund Freud once said that most people do not really want freedom, because freedom involves responsibility. And most people are frightened of responsibility. You see, because as little humans, we like to blame other people for what's going on, what we're going through, what's happening. And in that, we're denying our responsibility. We are surrendering power over that part of our life to someone else. If you really want to get into the ultimate of responsibility, I really want to encourage you to read the book Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. That's a really powerful book, because that's what really it builds on what I'm talking about, that, you know, we've got to learn to take responsibility. This isn't, you know, bad things happen to good people all the time, but we can sit and do the blame game with people, and when we blame other people, we create our own suffering, and thus we hand over our power for our life. And so responsibility is one of the greatest ways in which we can really rise above any change that is taking place. All right. So rough times help us to really appreciate the good times. If everything was always smooth and perfect, we'd get used to that, right? We'd get used to it. And we have to have, it sounds weird, but we do as humans, we have to have a little bit of chaos and disorder in our life every now and then, because otherwise we would never really know how to enjoy things. We would not be able to appreciate the thing, the people, the situations, the events in our life the way that we do, had we not had a little hardship too. I think that, you know, I'm thinking back, and again, only because my world has been been kind of wrapped or consumed around death. And I definitely don't want to sound depressing on the show. That's not my goal here whatsoever. But again, you know, when I look back even around, I mean, it really, really hard time. I mean, when the death happens and when you're going through that and you lose somebody that you love, it's really, it's not fun. But that time, even though in the midst of all of the trauma and all of the upset of what that was, there were still good times there. And we were able to appreciate our time with family. We were able to appreciate, you know, we laughed, we cried. I mean, we celebrated. But more than anything, through that rough time, it started to trigger up memories of all the good times that we had had with him. So just know that those rough times really help us to appreciate the good times. Had we not gone through his death, maybe we wouldn't even have taken time to remember some of the fun and some of the amazing moments that we shared together. So rough times really do help us to appreciate the good times. Okay. All right. I want you to know, you know what? Our struggles, and I'm pausing because I'm bracing you, our struggles are the path. Everybody always questions when they come in for a session with me. One of the common questions that I answer all the time is, am I on the right path? Because it doesn't feel like I am, because I've really been struggling a lot lately. I feel that somewhere I've taken a misstep somewhere. The struggles are the path. First off, you are not what you have done. You are really what you've overcome. Your struggles aren't found on the path. They are the path. All of those ups and downs, the upheaval, all of the difficult challenges that we have, and the times that we really wish were not happening, or all those situations we wish we could run away from, are the path. We are on the right path all the time. Our soul ensures it. We're always being guided. We're always being led. We're always being directed. And those struggles we go through, as I always say, our souls like kind of get off on this. They like to have the struggles. They like to have the wounds, the hardship, the pain. Because it's not it's not the situation. As I said, it's not what we've done, but it's what we've learned to overcome. I truly don't believe that we are here to learn lessons in life. I think that that is a spiritual teaching that has kind of gone out with the times. Our souls are here to gather wisdom. And it's through these struggles that we have that we gather wisdom. And we gather wisdom based on the choices that we're making. There's no lessons to be learned, but it is a gathering of wisdom. Okay. So getting that wisdom is the key. That's kind of the point behind the whole struggles. It's the point behind the change, because it really comes down to, if you think something is a problem, it is, right? Our thoughts and emotions then tend to be really negative. But if you think that it's something that is presenting, so that there's wisdom for you to gain here, which is pretty much common in almost every case, you can really come into a place of acceptance with how life is. This is how life is. This is how it is for now. And through new choices, we begin, you know, this is what's played out in this situation. This is how it is. This is the wisdom I'm going to scoop up here. And now through new choices, I'm going to continue on my path and continue to have struggles and ups and downs, right? And even all those failures, you know, that we have, that's always a step forward. Our failures do not set us back. Our failures are actually a step forward. And it's even in those times that we're gathering wisdom. Thomas Edison said, "I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that it won't work." Right? That's exactly what it comes down to. You know, think about it. If he hadn't failed those 10,000 times, we'd never have the light bulb, right? And God bless our light bulbs. So it's about learning to take those so-called failures. And again, what wisdom can we learn? Like, what wisdom are we obtaining here? How is it that we can make newer choices, better choices for next time? And more importantly, what's important here? You see, it's the perpetual growth. It's the perpetual evolution. It's the perpetual shift within consciousness and our mindset through every experience that we have in our life. So everyone has our own, has challenges, right? Everyone has a journey. Everyone is on the right path. And it truly is meaningless to begin to compare yourself with anybody else. I mean, the moment you get into comparison, you begin doubting yourself and you lose faith in your decisions. You lose faith in yourself. You lose faith in your hopes and your dreams. You completely sabotage yourself the moment you start comparing yourself to somebody else. We all need our own time. We all have our own distance to go. And it's perfectly okay to be different. Oh my gosh. Imagine how boring it would be if we were all the same. It takes me kind of to those cartoons where, you know, everybody's a robot and, you know, we're all just going through life doing the exact same thing. I think that'd be pretty boring. The only person that you should try to be better than is the person that you were yesterday. That's it. This isn't about comparison. This isn't about trying to be better than somebody else. It's about being better than the person you were yesterday. And how can you be better than the person you were yesterday? By the choices that you make today, the new choices. You have wisdom from yesterday. And so now you have an opportunity to make new and more powerful choices for yourself. I think ultimately, you know what, when the going gets rough, you need to be willing to bet on yourself. You're pretty amazing. And betting on you, choosing yourself to come out winning, oh my gosh. And, you know, oh, I can go on and on. I have all these other thoughts and I'm running out of time on the show, but you know, to recognize that you are pretty amazing. And it's about being kind to yourself. I think kindness is the best medicine. Our self-worth has nothing to do about our success. Our self-worth has nothing to do with the material possessions that we have. Our self-worth is not caught up in what we value from, you know, according to society, the value that's placed on it. Really, the kindness here, I mean, honestly, it's about how you treat yourself. Your self-worth all comes down to how you treat yourself. You know, are you being kind to you? Always be kind to you. As I said, you're pretty amazing. Now, that also brings up the next thing. It's about being kind to everyone around you, too. That's pretty imperative. I mean, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but I'll tell you, kindness continues to echo and it builds people up and it helps them to remember that they're pretty amazing too. So be kind wherever possible. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to realize it's always possible to be kind. You know, it's the whole story. You know, what do we hear all the time? What goes around comes around. Well, it's so true. What you give, you shall receive. So I know you know this. So then finally, of course, you know, and moving forward, it comes down to, you know, gratitude. Gratitude improves every single situation. Even in the most peaceful surroundings, if you're not grateful, your heart will find trouble. But even in the most troublesome surroundings then, and if you can find gratitude, you will know peace. Remember this. Because there's always something to be grateful for. Life is better when we're smiling, of course. Being positive in a negative situation, I would say that's naive to think that that's how it works, because we can't be positive in a negative situation. We need to be able to, again, acknowledge how we feel, to be with where we are, and then make some new choices. But being positive, being able to find that hope, find the optimism, is a sign of strength. It's a sign of leadership. And you know you're doing it right when you have much more to smile about than you do to complain or cry about. I mean, truly, gratitude is without a doubt the number one, I would say, fallback for me. Even in the times of difficult, you know, I mean, rough times, like I said, that's where we appreciate those good times, but it's in those good times where we begin to give gratitude for them. You know, gratitude for the fact that we had those moments, gratitude for the fact that we were gathered as a family, gratitude for, you know, the sun shining, whatever it is. Because, you know, we're not trapped. We're never, ever trapped in our reality, even though it can feel like we're trapped. But if you doubt your ability to make your decisions, you're never going to be able to move to a new chapter in your life. You're always going to have to try to fend for yourself. So this is about stretching. This is about growing. This is about giving yourself space, encouragement, kindness. Most importantly, self-love, self-love, self-love. So I'm going to get a tattoo one day. I have a couple of tattoos already, but I'm going to get a tattoo. And one of them it's going to say, faith is found in the darkest corners of heaven. Because that's truly how it plays out, that it is in the darkest of times where, as I said, we not only recognize our own strength, but it is in the darkest of times that we start to recognize, you know, recognize that we're being supported the whole time and that light spills in whenever we enter the room, whenever that door is open, whenever we ask for help, whenever we call upon all of the forces of the universe to be with us, letting others in, you know, whether it be friends or family, when we're in those dark places, that helps to build our faith, faith in each other, faith in the universe, faith in all things possible, and most importantly, faith in our own self. So keep that in mind, you know, I really want to encourage you to take a look at, you know, what's playing out change-wise for you. Now in the universe, I realized at the start of the show, I didn't do my little preempt in terms of where we are in terms of all the divine and cosmic influences playing out. But truly that's exactly what we're in the midst of. When we talk about these dark times, these challenging times, that change is happening and we are in resistance and we're losing our faith in each other. We're losing faith in humanity. We're losing faith in our politicians. We're losing faith in ourselves. I mean, whomever we look upon is a part of us, right? We're one with each other. And so this is really what's playing out in the universe right now too. I want you to know, when I say that you are right on path, you are right on path. Whatever is playing up in your world right now, I want to invite you to expand and open up to it. Just open up to it. Whatever you are feeling challenged with, this is actually what's playing out in the cosmos right now. All of the energies of the universe are having an impact on us. And we are capable of really expanding and opening up. And if we can do that, we won't be feeling the intensity. It won't be quite as difficult, perhaps, as what we might otherwise be going through. And it's no different with change. This is about when change happens, when death happens, when relationship stirs out, when your kids move out of the house, when you lose your job, when you move to a new city, whatever change is playing out. Maybe it's a career change or a change within your own self that you're not quite understanding. Whatever it is, when we can learn to expand and open up to it and invite it in, when we can embrace it, we can extend our energy into the universe and we can feel our connection with the source of all that is. You know, arms wide open, expand out the chest and say yes to life. Say yes to what is happening and allow that heart energy to swell to send it out. We have to remind yourself that whatever we're enduring, that we can rely on our soul, that we can trust in ourselves. You can trust in you. Like I said, bet on you every single time. I mean, it really is. The energies right now are asking us to do our best to take ownership and responsibility for anything we have going on, whether it be projects that we have on the table or whether it is responsibility for the situations and the circumstances that are playing up in our life. Because right now, where we're sitting in October, it's time to show the world our power, and not power in a real forceful, controlled power, but the power of love. We're being called to change, and the upshift of any situation is coming into task, especially if we've been misaligned with it. So I want to invite you to take a slower and more determined approach. Open up, expand, embrace whatever is being offered, whatever the universe is bringing and delivering to you today, to know that when you can do it, do that, and no longer be in resistance to the change that is happening, that you can create some very, very amazing things for your life. And you certainly can create some miracles out of whatever may feel like ashes. All right, my sweet friends, big love to each one of you. I'm so glad to be back on the air with you, and hope you have an amazing, beautiful day. Bye for now.